At the end of April, we completed South Africa's 2024-25 marketing year for maize. Now, when I talk about the 2024-25 marketing year, that corresponds with the 2023-24 production season. That's the crop that we planted between October 2023, harvested in 2024, and of course marketed from 2024 up until the end of the season, which is April 2025. Now, we completed that year. When we think about how that season was like, we generally categorize it as one of the difficult seasons in the recent past. South Africa was hit by the midsummer drought, which led to our maize crop declining by 22%. We ended the season with a harvest of about 12.85 million tons of maize. That's what we had. While that was fairly sharp, given that we were coming from about three consecutive seasons of excellent agricultural production in South Africa, it was nothing compared to what we saw in our neighboring regions. Take, for example, Zimbabwe. They lost last year about 60% of their maize crop because of that midsummer drought. Zambia lost about 50% of their maize crop, and many other countries lost significant amount of their crop. The difficulty also about the 2023-24 production season in Southern Africa is the fact that it started off as a promising season. Yes, we knew that we were entering an El Nino phenomenon, but it looked like we could start off with some good rains, and then somewhere from the end of February, we would be hit by the drought all the way through. And if you don't get rain after February, it's not always a train smash, because if you plant it on time, the pollination or flowering period is usually in February. And post-pollination, of course, you already need less rain so that the crop can mature well. Now, in anticipation of these dynamics, the farmers in South Africa went all in and planted the typical area that we plant. Southern Africa was the same story. So when they lost half of their maize crop in Zambia, it was not just the decline of the harvest compared to the previous season because people planted less area. They planted their typical area, so there were financial losses there. Zimbabwe, the same story. And indeed, of course, here in South Africa, Mozambique, and many other countries. And I think it's because of these dynamics where you heard a lot at the start of this year and the end of last year where we were seeing maize prices quite elevated in South Africa and in Southern Africa region, and we were all complaining about the drought. The drought was also not spread throughout the season. The issue was in February, the start of February, all the way through to the end of February, and even in some areas through to March. That's where we were hit by the dry weather condition or heat wave. One could almost say and say, look, where the forecast was saying, what they were saying, look, you will get dry weather conditions from March. But what we ended up seeing is that that was front-loaded by a month, and that's how then we saw all of these crop losses. But now South Africa, of course, experienced a minor loss compared to the region, 20%, while others are at plus 50%. And one may be asking to say, what's the difference between South Africa and the Southern Africa region? And this all boils down to the type of seeds that are being used, the farming method, and the other inputs. South Africa uses, I would say, a much more better or improved seed cultivars compared to what we see in the region. You may choose to call it and say genetically modified seeds and all of those things. And what they do, they enable us to be at a position where we can, to a certain extent, withstand some of the harsh climatic condition and still get a better yield, although, of course, it will be a significantly down yield compared to what we would get in a normal season. But I think for other countries that do not have access to these improved seed cultivars, the losses tends to be much sharper. You can make an argument for Zimbabwe and say this was not only the story of a drought, but the fact that the fertilizer usage in Zimbabwe was also quite down. And this contributed, of course, to this decline in their maize crop. So it was a story of both inputs and a drought and the seed cultivars that led to broader African region losing so much crop. So South Africa also, with the maize harvest that we had of about 12.85 million tons, we were still in a better position. Because remember, South Africa only needs a year at around about 11.8 or generally 12 million tons of maize. But last year, we saw our consumption also shrinking a little bit, and we ended up needing about 11.6 million tons. Now, think about the 12.85 million tons harvest that we have, and our annual needs were about 11.6 million tons. But it was not only that. We also had a significant carryover stock from the previous season. The previous season was part of the three consecutive seasons of excellent harvest in the South African grain industry. Backed by favorable rainfall, we were in a prolonged period of La Nina. La Nina, as an opposite of El Nino, typically brings excellent rains across the Southern Africa region. And that meant then that we ended the year, although the exports were plus 3 million tons at the time, but we ended the year also with about 2.4 million tons. And that became our carryover stock. So when you were considering the supplies that we had, you had to think about the 12.85 million tons plus the 2.5 million tons. And that then became the supplies of maize that we had. That maize was so important, not only for us, but now for the broader Southern Africa that was in need. Zimbabwe was the biggest beneficiary on South Africa. South Africa ended up exporting around about, when you're thinking about all of our maize exports by the end of the season, we exported about 2.2 million tons of maize in a drought year. And that was important that South Africa exports that maize. If we were to segment it and say what type of maize was there, 66% of that maize was white maize, 34% of it was yellow maize, which is largely used for animal consumption by us as well as the neighboring countries when it comes to yellow maize. Now, Zimbabwe, biggest beneficiary, accounted for about 60% of those maize that South Africa exported, and the rest was really spread across the Southern Africa region. Zimbabwe's maize crop, usually they would need about give or take 2 million tons. And now them importing over a million tons of maize from South Africa speaks again to that difficulty that they faced. Because if you were to look at, to say, okay, how much of that maize that Zimbabwe imported from South Africa, it was about 1.3 million tons. So just around a few touches, close to 60 million tons, as I've said. If you want to be specific, it was 57% to the figure of what we sent to Zim. And then that boosted their supplies and really helped on stabilizing the food supplies. And yes, it did have the price shocks, because in South Africa also, we were seeing higher maize prices, double digit compared from a year ago, especially towards the end of last year and into the beginning of this year. But I think the most important thing was that they still were in a position where they had the supplies of maize, and that, at least in terms of availability of maize, things could be well. And now I know that some people had also read about South Africa importing maize, and they were asking, what is this when you're telling us that South Africa is exporting over 2 million tons of maize, but we are also reading about imports? South Africa did import maize, and in fact, to be exact, we imported about 938,000 tons of maize. Part of that was white maize, part of it yellow maize, mainly from Argentina, Brazil, and the United States. Now, why was that maize imported when we had a surplus? That was a function of both the ease of bringing the maize in for our coastal region, as well as a price competitiveness as another factor on that. But I think the bigger story of it is the fact that that maize that was imported benefited the coastal regions of South Africa to an extent that then we had so much in the north to be able to push up and support the neighboring countries. So it was really a story of rebalancing and the markets rebalancing that, which is another beautiful thing about South Africa, because even if we have drought, we don't put export bans and export caps in terms of maize. All is what is required is for information to be shared. When you are importing something, you report, exporting something, you report, so that the traders and the market can readjust, knowing where the supplies are. And on a month-on-month basis, you publish a detailed supply and demand, which tells us what's going on with the South African grain supply. And that influences the prices and it rebalances the market. So that's what we saw happening last year. And I think that South Africa bringing in that 938,000 tons of maize, boosting the supply in coastal regions, opening up then the availability so that they can be pushed up to our neighboring countries in the north, that was the magic working to ensure that we are able to have stable stable grain supplies in the Southern Africa region, and that boosted our food security in general. And I think that's a good thing when you are thinking about what happened last year. Why were we talking about imports and at the same time talking about exports? But I think it's also important to consider the fact that with all of those factors at play, South Africa remained a net exporter of maize, because we imported 938,000 tons, exported 2.2 million tons of maize. So we were still sitting as a net exporter. And it was important that we export to support and stabilize the grain and the food supplies in the Southern Africa region. Now, that's the story of the season that ended in April. We are now in the 2025-26 marketing year, which started now in May. For this season, things are looking better. South Africa is expecting a decent maize crop at about 14.7 million tons, up 14% from last year. And I think that this means then, if you consider our consumption of around about 11.8, 12 million tons, we will remain a net exporter of maize again as South Africa. Yes, the many countries in the region, they've planted decent area in Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Zambia, and all of these countries. But I still think that you may as well see them importing a little bit again from South Africa to stabilize their maize supplies, should there be a need to do that. And in a past of writings as well as a segment of this podcast, we talked about the quality issues in South Africa. But I don't think that anyone should worry that we'll have a significant maize quality issue. The reason we talked about the quality is that we would have liked to receive rain until the end of March, but we continue to get rain until the end of April when the crop had already matured. And that can lead to some quality problems here and there. But I think on balance, the quality will still be good. We'll still have the volume. So South Africa is really in a recovery space when it comes to grain supplies this time. And of course, the harvest will pick momentum from June going forward. It's slightly delayed because the season on itself is a bit delayed by roughly a month compared to the typical period because of the late arrivals of rain. And of course, then the rains continued for much longer. So that's the dynamics when you were thinking about what was going on and what's happening with the maize supplies in Southern Africa. And I think the central message that I wanted to put forward this week is to say South Africa really provided an anchor for food supplies in Southern Africa. Even in times of drought, the availability was there, but also there were no export restrictions or anything like that. We maintain a flexible and an open market policy approach. All we need, and we do, is to make sure that the information is out there so that for the market participants to be able to readjust matters and ensure that we have a well-functioning food system in South Africa. And with that, folks, let me stop there and let me thank the people that help with this monologue podcast. That's Richard Humphrey, Sam Kokeli, Nelisiwe Chabalala, and Amanda Murimba. Follow this podcast on socials at Mkokeli Podcast, and follow me on socials across all socials, Wandile Sihlobo. And of course, do read some of my blog and some of the spaces that I write in, particularly my Substack, wandile.substack. Thank you so very much for listening.